Honda Aero breaks ground in North Carolina. American Airlines will sell off American Eagle. And a hedge fund continues campaigning for a Delta-United merger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 29th, 2007. Honda Aero Incorporated officially broke ground on Wednesday for its new corporate headquarters and jet engine plant in Burlington, North Carolina. The company also announced it's successfully run a proof-of-concept version of the GE Honda HF-120 turbofan, adding that the engine has exceeded the company's internal development targets for both thrust and specific fuel consumption on the first test run. The company anticipates engine certification in 2009, followed by the start of mass production in late 2010. The 102,000-square-foot facility will include 36,000 square feet of office space, a 58,000-square-foot production plant, and an 8,000-square-foot engine test cell. Honda Aero will employ about 70 people and is expected to produce 200 GE Honda engines within about a year of startup. The company is investing about $27 million for the construction. The GE Honda HF-120 has been chosen to power Spectrum Aeronautical's Freedom Jet and the Honda Jet, which will be produced in neighboring Greensboro, North Carolina, by the Honda Aircraft Company, that's a separate corporation. GE Honda Aero Engines is a joint venture between GE Aviation and Honda Aero, established in 2004 for the development, certification, and commercialization of jet engines up to 35,000 pounds of thrust. AMR Corporation, the parent of American Airlines, announced on Wednesday it will divest itself of regional carrier American Eagle. The Wall Street Journal reports the move follows months of shareholder pressure, and AMR shares soared after the news. Despite the much improved performance of U.S. airlines this year, the performance of the companies for their shareholders has generally been disappointing, which is prompting both discussions and rumors of discussions about consolidation. Speaking of rumors, it looks as if investment company Partis Capital Management has not given up on getting other hedge funds to support a merger between Delta and United. The Wall Street Journal reports Partis appealed last week to investors in Boston to support a merger. 2 weeks ago, Partis took its message to about 75 airline investors in New York. That message is, a merger between the two carriers makes sense, and not just because Partis has stock in both. As ANN reported, many believe Partis floated a trial balloon about the merger November 14th. That's that rumor you may recall when an unnamed source told the Associated Press that a merger between the two airlines was imminent. That source described a combined United-Delta airline retaining the United name, with headquarters in Chicago and an operations center in Atlanta. Executives at both airlines vehemently and specifically denied those rumors. Partis doesn't own the shares or otherwise have the clout to unilaterally launch a hostile takeover, and tells the Journal its efforts now are focused on building a quiet consensus. Partis holds 7 million shares in Delta, that's about 2.4% of all shares in the reorganized airline. It owns 5.6 million shares in United, that's a 4.6% stake in that airline. Caution, if you're alarmed by the pace of bloat at the Transportation Security Administration, you may find this alarming. Faced with embarrassments, including a former Comair employee who smuggled guns and drugs onto a plane in Orlando, and the revelation that thousands of all-access badges were unaccounted for in Chicago, the TSA is taking over administration of background checks for over a million aviation workers starting in January. TSA spokeswoman Ellen Howell told USA Today the agency will check 1.2 million aviation workers and anyone applying for a job requiring a federal aviation license. The background checks have been the responsibility of the FAA since 9/11. The TSA takeover means all licensed aviation workers will be checked against the FBI's complete terror watch list, which is more complete than the FAA check. They'll also be rechecked every time the terrorist screening center's database is updated, and that happens almost every day. The FAA has been checking people only once when they apply for a license. Captain Bob Hesselbane, who's chairman of the Airline Pilots Association's National Security Committee, shared a concern with the paper. Quote, "We don't know that their processes will not misidentify people who are not a danger as a danger," unquote. No doubt the 7-year-olds on the TSA watch list would agree. Up next on ANN, Peggy Fawcett starts a difficult process in court. the U.S. Navy continues its investigation of a Blue Angels tragedy, and Phoenix police blame no one for a summer collision between news helicopters. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 29th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. On Monday, Peggy Fawcett began the painful process of asking the Cook County Circuit Court in Illinois to declare her missing husband, millionaire adventurer Steve Fawcett, officially deceased. Michael Lavallo, an attorney for Peggy Fawcett, told Reuters, quote, "As painful as it is for Mrs. Fawcett, other members of his family, and his many friends, the time has come to initiate this process," unquote. As ANN reported, the 63-year-old Fawcett never returned from what was to be a short scouting flight over western Nevada September 3rd. He took off from a private airstrip near Yerington, Nevada that morning in a Blanca Decathlon with 5 hours of fuel on board, to survey locations in the area for a planned attempt to break the world land speed record. When Fawcett failed to return to the airport, a massive search effort lasted for a month. The Civil Air Patrol finally suspended the official search on October 3rd. A declaration of death is a necessary step in settling Fawcett's estate. 7 months have gone by since a U.S. Navy Blue Angels FA-18 crashed during a performance at Marine Air Corps Station Buford in South Carolina, killing the pilot. And officials are still working to determine what went wrong. As ANN reported, Lieutenant Commander Kevin Davis was flying opposing solo in the No. 6 aircraft during the precision flight demonstration. Video footage showed the aircraft descending in a tight left turn to form a delta triangle following a starburst maneuver. The aircraft continued its descent below a tree line and came down in a neighborhood 3 miles from the field, injuring at least 8 people on the ground. The Buford Gazette reports an official Navy report was expected in November, but so far, it has yet to be made public. Meanwhile, Jennifer Zeldis, spokeswoman for the Office of the Judge Advocate General of the Navy, confirms that 11 people whose homes were lost or destroyed have been compensated by the Navy. 6 more claims are pending, and 4 more expected to be filed in the near future. The Navy says the outcome and the timeline of the investigation will in no way affect the claims process. Police in Phoenix, Arizona, have completed their report on a horrific July 27th midair collision of 2 news helicopters over that city. According to KPNX Channel 12, the report does not assign the blame for the accident to anyone. That accident killed 4 people on board the 2 helicopters. Witness reports, however, seem to agree that a helicopter carrying the Channel 15 TV crew drifted into contact with the rotor of a hovering Channel 3 helo before both of them crashed to the ground. As ANN reported, the 2 helicopters were among a total of 5 dispatched to follow a police chase. The National Transportation Safety Board's probable cause report on the crash is not expected for several months. The board did release a very thorough preliminary report on August 5th and noted that under an agreement in effect for the helos, Phoenix air traffic controllers are not required to provide separation services among helicopters operating VFR in Phoenix Class B airspace. 2 passengers on board a Cessna 210 Centurion were killed and the pilot critically injured when their aircraft crashed north of Jones Riverside Airport in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tuesday evening. The Associated Press reports the plane had just departed for Little Rock, Arkansas, when the pilot attempted to return to the airport. The plane struck a power line on approach, according to FAA spokesman Roland Herwig. The identities of the victims were not released, but reports indicate the pilot is a Little Rock police officer and that his wife and father-in-law were on board the plane. Aircraft broker Dan Howard, whose company handled the sale of the aircraft, told local media the pilot reported a voltage issue just after takeoff. The Centurion hit the power line about 7:20 p.m. Central Time and came to rest inverted near an earthen levee about 100 yards north of the airport. Tuesday's crash is the second in the Metro Tulsa area in 6 weeks. As ANN reported, five people died in a Beechcraft A-36 Bonanza October 17th near Glenpool. That aircraft was also attempting to return for an emergency landing at Jones Riverside. Still ahead, British pilots and navigators give a prestigious award to an aircraft that requires neither. It's VFR at LaGuardia, so why are there weather delays? And strong ocean currents scuttle a satellite launch from the surface of the Pacific. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 29, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Boeing tells ANN it recently received the prestigious Johnson Memorial Trophy from the London-based Guild of Air Pilots and Air Navigators for the accomplishments of the X-45A Joint Unmanned Combat Air Systems Program. George Molnar, Boeing Advanced Systems President, called it quite an honor. Quote, "This is the first time a Boeing program has received this award, and the first time it has been bestowed on an unmanned aircraft, which speaks highly of the company and the incredible advances we accomplished with the X-45A, unquote. The program solidified its award nomination and selection during its final flights in August 2005, when two X-45As, flying autonomously, identified, attacked, and destroyed pre-identified ground-based radars and associated missile launchers before they could launch their surface-to-air missiles. And yes, there's irony in an organization of pilots and navigators recognizing an aircraft that requires neither. It's not like the honor could ever be reciprocated." At New York LaGuardia Airport on Wednesday morning, skies were reported sunny and clear, winds from the northwest at 11 to 14, and the forecast was for things to get even calmer. At the same time, the FAA was blaming 23-minute average arrival delays on weather. So how come airliners are being delayed for winds that are within the demonstrated crosswind performance of the twitchiest 900-pound tail dragger? The FAA's Jim Peters told Newsday that because LaGuardia has runways which intersect rather than run parallel, spacing between planes is increased on days with wind to safely accommodate aborted landings. As CFI Bob Miller told us on the ANN special feature recently after one of his flights into the area, the FAA's traffic management program in the Metro New York area can also result in delays even when the entire area is VFR. Moral of the story? Even if it's a sunny and calm day, check with your airline for the status of your flight through New York airports before planning your day. It's not winds, but ocean currents, which have delayed a private company's attempt to launch a communications satellite. Sea Launch LLC had scheduled a November 14th launch for Thuraya 3. That's a high-power geosynchronous communications satellite supporting mobile phone and data applications for a client based in the United Arab Emirates. From a floating platform at 154 degrees west longitude in the western Pacific, the company seeks to take advantage of an effect which allows launches from the equator to boost the available payload of its Zenit 3SL rocket, or allow more optimal orbital placement of satellites. But during the final 3 days of the countdown, ocean currents described as twice normal levels, accompanied by strong winds, made it impossible to hold the floating platform on location. The company says its vessels are returning to home port and the launch schedule will be extended. Sea Launch is headquartered in Long Beach, California. And finally, 23-year-old senior airman Amanda Fauci has what is undeniably an interesting job. The Wall Street Journal reports she has nearly the same security clearance as a Secret Service agent and sometimes goes on weeks-long classified assignments. The job? She's a flight attendant. on 17 luxury planes which ferry government dignitaries around the world. That exclusive fleet includes Air Force One. Unlike commercial flight attendants, Amanda and her colleagues wear drab uniforms, must be trained in survival and food preparation skills, are required to be on 24-hour call, and even have to shop for food and clean the planes. Surprisingly, the paper says that despite the adventure of attending to world leaders and occasional stays in exotic locales, recruiting for the positions is tough. If you're interested, the job starts at about $40,000, but eventually goes much higher, and there are also per diems, hazard pay for dangerous locations, and, of course, the chance to rub elbows with people who make history. Before one recent flight, Airman Fauci baked sugar cookies shaped like Texas and frosted them in red, white, and blue at home. The next day, she got to serve them to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, former President George H.W. Bush, and other VIPs on a Boeing 757 flying to College Station, Texas. Her extra work got her kudos from her passengers who noticed the shape of the cookies. Quote, "They thought that was awesome," unquote. I wonder if she has to use the high-altitude recipe on the back of the box. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is investigative TV reporter Dave Savini of CBS2 Chicago. Dave's investigative report blew the lid off a security scandal at O'Hare International. And since we talked to him last, he's testified at a hearing called by two local congressmen. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.